I'm going to ask Walter if he'll come up and talk. Walter is a doesn't have slides, so we can go back up one. I don't know how you do that. But anyway, Walter is another example of a combination between, I believe it's environment and occupational health.
Yes, sir.
So we're going to have him share with this, and then we're going to go to Richard about the caucuses.
How you doing? My name is Walter Jones. I'm with the chair of the Occupational Safety and Health section. I've been with the section now for over 20 years, and we've done most of our collaborations with the environmental section. But this year at the ISC meetings and chair-elect meetings like last summer when all the chairs were getting to know each other, there was this idea of can we do intersectional collaborations. In the time I have today, I don't have any slides because I want to just talk about the experience it was with working with other sections that I like to talk about, all of the joy it brought, but there were some pitfalls as well. And When we left the chair-elect meeting, some of us, especially the environmental section, who I've worked a lot with, we talked about a few different topics that maybe we could band together to do a session on here at APHA for San Francisco. And we hooked up with the epidemiology section. And I will tell you, my section, when they heard we were working with the epidemiology section, was like, what the heck is going on here? You know, they are our mortal enemies, you know. They're always knocking heads on policy disputes, none of which that I was really aware of, to be honest with you. I guess there's some history 10, 15, 20 years ago or something. So, but it was really a refreshing experience when Barbara and Rob and I got together, and we thought we would do this session on hydrofracking. We got together. I threw out some names of folks I was interested in. Barbara threw out some, the environmental section threw out names they were interested in. The epidemiology section threw out names that they were interested in. They contacted their folks. We were able to put together a pretty decent program. And we thought, well, this is better than just a session. We need to contact APHA about making this a special session. And this is, you know, it's a lot, as you were talking about collaboration, it really takes motivated folks to really do collaboration because there aren't really systemic ways to really do it within APHA between the sessions, because each section is allotted X number of sessions. And they really, and the program planners for each of our sections are pretty territorial about that idea of, you know, we don't necessarily want to give up another section, and there's no real route, and that's why we went to the intersectional route. We contacted Josh Fox to come in and maybe, you know, he's an Academy Award winner or nominated to hit cleanup for us, and we thought we'd get funding, and we didn't really get accepted as a big special APHA section. So we all looked at each other and said, well, do we really want to continue with this? And we did. And we're going to have the session this Tuesday afternoon. And unfortunately, Sandy is making it difficult for some of our folks to really get out there. But it was really a refreshing experience for myself and my section because of that collaboration of between epidemiology, ourselves, and environment. There was an hydrofracking policy proposal that was developed by someone in the environmental section that then, when it came across my desk, the first thing I wanted to do was edit it to make sure it contained occupational health and safety references. And that, when I saw your slide on the agricultural, we fought the parts of the agricultural bill because of it promoted speeding up the food lines. And we were like, wow, you're going to go from like 60 pieces per minute to 120, as if that's going to be easily done by workers. And we fought against that. So I'm going to reach out to you afterwards to see if we can get involved in this working group. But I digress. The point I'm saying is that we were then able, we worked together. I edited their policy, and then Robin jumps in from epidemiology, and we all work together to support this policy. And there's not a lot of work, there's not a lot of scientific study on hydrofracking. It's really at the beginning, at the baby end of what's going on in terms of its effect across many different disciplines and rubrics. But we will work together to get a policy on a book for APHA that we're still fighting for. There are many that think we should be no fracking, and I don't know how we feel about that, but we can't do without any. We need more science before we just jump on any of those types of statements. And the three of our groups have worked really good with pushing that forward. So I think the take-home message from collaborations is, one, you're going to need motivated folks that can work outside of the box, because the box is really set up right now for each of the sections to be really territorial and to maintain their number of sessions and to move forward specific to topics of their own. And there isn't a lot of mechanisms, at least in APHA yet, that will that will promote this cross-fertilization of sections. Because many of us, we have, you know, many of our sections, you know, many years ago may have had these hard lines on where food and environment ended and where occupational safety and health began, and on and on and on, where maternal health care ended and aging and elderly began. But that's really different today. Many of the subjects we work on have many different avenues where we can all participate. So I think, you know, when we begin to look at collaboration, that's the one thing you got to look at, because we, you know, this year, our section, we did a bunch of collaborations with different sections. One was this hydrofracking session, special session that we tried to get passed, and that we ended up just doing a regular session. Epidemiology, as I said, decided to lend one of their sections, and we're going to have a pretty big session tomorrow afternoon, which led into the three of us promoting this hydrofracking APHA policy. In my section, you know, we're kind of losing membership the last few years, so I decided that we wanted to reach out to a different growing section. And so we reached out to the health informatics and information section to try to do a digital contest. And what I was suggesting, that we work with the two sections to develop a contest where we work together on asking each side to submit a digital presentation on occupational safety and health, a 3 or 4 minute video, or it can go as far as 10 minutes to 15 minutes, something that didn't need to be explained, that you could just press play, and most importantly, has the potential to go viral, so that it goes beyond just the professionals sitting in this room to just folks that are just out there. So we did this long contest, and it was very difficult, to be really honest with you. As much as I enjoyed my relationship working with the other sections on the hydrofracking, it was very difficult working to get the digital contest off the ground, because I was working with myself, it meant a lot of times, and that made it a little more, the pitfalls were just a little more difficult. So when you're getting partners for collaborations, like you were talking about earlier in your presentation, as I was listening, it's like, that's exactly what you really have to look out for. You know, collaboration, it can go both ways. So you have to make sure you have committed partners to collaboration in order to get it off the ground. We were able to get the contest off the ground, and we were able to get it done. But I do think it's important that, you know, you really identify your partners correctly, so that, you know, and everyone has a very good idea of what you have to do to move forward, because it becomes difficult when you have to decide who's going to be judging, who's going to pay the cost of the awards, who's going to actually do the promotion, who's sending out email blasts to their membership, how are we going to do this, who's doing the follow-up, who's the point person. And when we're doing collaborations, that's always the other group. Did you ever do this? Didn't you get this done? Why didn't you follow up on this? And, you know, when it's your session, it's you, your section, excuse me, it's you that has to make sure all this is done. So those are clear lines of authority and responsibility, I think, is really important, because we don't really yet in APHA, we don't really have that cross-sectional collaboration set up so that, you know, we have a systemic approach to doing it. It was like the presentation where the lines are all over the place. That means no one has any responsibility. And that's why it doesn't often get as done as much as it we would like to see. Thank you very much.
Now, Walter, I'm going to emphasize one thing. We don't have those sorts of line, we don't have those sorts of structures yet. I think that's very important. That's where I live, in the hopeful mode of the future. And now I'm going to introduce somebody who's also in moving into the future. We have had, I don't know how our structure, I don't remember, were caucuses on your list? I mean, we in the... Intersectional Council are learning, have always had sections. We have SPIG, special interest groups. We now have forums. And out there always have been caucuses, which are really different. And this year they've moved ahead. And Richard came to our mid-year meeting of the ISC Steering Committee to share with us what they were doing. And he really wanted to be part of this presentation on collaboration, and it seemed really appropriate. So, Richard?
Good morning, everyone. Before I go into the talk, I want to do just sort of thank the other presenters and really echo the how impressed I am and how the like the hydrofracking. I mean, I was here on Friday night and saw a news report about you're a landowner, but you don't own the minerals underneath, and how some of that's coming up for auction in this area and how serious an implication that is. So I think the cross collaborations and having a larger audience that puts forth that the policy and information is really important. Today I'm going to talk to you about the Caucus Collaborative, how it came to exist, and a little bit about the caucuses in general. Thank you, Dr. Levin, for inviting me to speak. Real quick, we have 18 caucuses. I've listed them all here. And I'm going to just do a quick history. The old one is the Black Caucus of Public Health Workers, established in 1968. And our newest one is the Men's Health Caucus, established just 2 years ago. In the bylaws, mission, and are pretty common among all the caucuses, and I just listed the basics here. They've continued their presence throughout the years at APHA with either and or business meetings, social, scientific programs. And, of course, there have been collaborations with some sections of across caucuses and with some social interest groups and other organizations. The caucuses have been pretty innovative. Some of them have been with asking other groups to either support or to contribute their booth and handling their membership process, which has allowed their caucuses to actually go to scientific sessions and not worry about constantly recruiting while at the meeting, which they're pretty innovative ideas, depending on your caucus and how large or how you're looking to advertise, it can be very effective. Challenges that you see are pretty much the basics that we've had, I think, across APHA in general. There's nothing that have been a surprise to anybody here. Now, what came about the coalescence of the collaboration was an approach between APHA and Robert Wood Johnson. They gave a grant that was similar to the Kellogg grant, which worked with the state affiliates into building collaborations and communicating more effectively all across APHA. The public health team within Robert Wood Johnson Foundation works to improve the quality and impact of the public health system through three interconnected strategies. Advance the use of law and policy, build the evidence for what works in public health, and strengthens the public health departments. The public health team's theory of change, which is actually depicted in the next slide, I'll tell you a little bit more about in a moment. We had a quick conference call before we actually had the retreat and sort of got the consultant that was running the meeting asked us, you know, what would you like to achieve? What are some of your visions? What are some of your goals? You know, and there were about five of us on the call, and it gave them a good foundation on getting material prepared for when we actually had the retreat. They also sent out a needs assessment to every representative of the caucus. Some basic questions about membership, whether we pay membership dues, what are meetings like, do we meet outside the annual meeting, how often, and stuff like that. So we were able to receive that information when we arrived at the retreat and really evaluate and see how unique or how different all the caucuses ran. So the theory of change they have here, they think about their efforts to drive these changes and transform public health. The APHA caucuses align with this theory of change, moving evidence into the hands of decision makers to make effective policy and systems change, given the role that they play with their members and their focus areas. So the goal of the Robert Wood Johnson investment was to bring the caucuses together to strategize about how we could increase our effectiveness and organize constituencies to support public health, particularly the social determinants of health and how they impact vulnerable and underserved populations. The majority of the caucuses are all in different minority pockets that kind of umbrella all the underserved populations. So Mariner Management was the consultant that actually ran the meeting, and it was about, this is the actual caucus retreat was in August. Around the beginning of October was when we actually received the final report that showed everything that we had discussed throughout the entire meeting. The basic missions were like voice of our constituency, experts in our space, proponents of equality and public health. The vision was concise about provide actionable solutions, cause the positive actions to occur based on our response to issues. There was still a widespread viewpoint regarding to the extent to cause action, like commuting viewpoints versus doing actual legislature or regulatory advocacy. Some caucuses felt they wanted to go in one of two of those camps. And again, that's what made it easy for us to just see exactly where everybody stood and what they really wanted to do moving forward. The strengths that we had from the retreat, it was about everyone was passionate and committed, and they wanted to continue to do something collectively in some regard. And we know that there are some partnerships with APH and related organizations. And then also there were some caucuses that had very well defined and administrated websites. So there was a huge sort of continuum of how organized some of the caucuses were and some of them weren't. And it was, you know, it just was based on the level of commitment and sort of resources that each caucus had. Some of the obstacles was, of course, we all have volunteer burnout and having to find and recruit new people that wanted to become active and part of the caucuses. Let's see. The wish list that, whoops, sorry, let me go back. This was a lot of things that actually, which is interesting, that within the past year has actually started, because we have the well now. I was real excited to hear about that, and I actually am asking about when the caucuses will be involved in that, and at least we'll try to get a caucus collaborative so that we can be joining that as well. An online calendar, trying to get all the caucuses together so we know exactly what's going on so that people can share stuff. There was discussion of centralized storage space so that all documents, all histories and stuff like that were available to all the caucuses, you know, by a server. Specific strict regulations on logging in and stuff like that, because some caucuses had more sensitive material that they didn't want to release to everyone across the caucuses. Let's see. The other issue, wish list was the, professional networking, social media space, and there were a few caucuses that are already on Facebook. We're doing a lot of things on Twitter. So there was a lot of other things that are already in play now. One of the biggest issues was training. There was so much driven to get members to be on the executive committees of all these caucuses, you know, there wasn't a lot of the mentoring and the training and not a lot of knowledge about APHA. So what's nice is in the past year, there's been a lot more dissemination of information. The Component Affairs Department of APHA has been distributing APHA 101, all the things about Component Affairs. It's been really, really refreshing to get all of that information, be able to disseminate that to all the new people. So they're getting a great hand 101 training, which is really nice. And we've got a great staff here at APHA. The conclusion was the establishment of the caucus collaborative, and that's when I was actually appointed as the chair, was in May, and my chair-elect is Elena Ong. And since then, we were invited, like Barbara had mentioned, to attend the Intersectional Council and the Committee on Affiliates in June. And it was a great opportunity for us to see exactly on a different level how the intersections meet, what they discuss, as well as the Committee on Affiliates. Elena was with the Committee of Affiliates, and I sat there with the Intersectional Council. And we just wanted to increase visibility and also to try to see where we can actually fit in and do some more collaborations across that as well. I know that a lot of the caucuses have already done, and they do, some specifically the Women's Caucus makes a mission every year to collaborate with at least one other component, whether it be a section or a caucus. So they've got it going on, and that's great, and we're trying to sort of try to inspire other caucuses to do the same. Thank you. So we also had a deadline for the write-up for the brochures, which are over at our booth 14251A, and it's just been really wonderful. There's been a lot of traffic over there. It's right around all the caucuses. For the future plans, we have to actually put together bylaws, which we're going to be discussing at the caucus breakfast this Wednesday. My goal is for us to complete it by June. Depends on how big the discussion is during the breakfast. And as you can see, the the things that we're looking to increase as far as policy writer, possibly, we talked about grant writing and getting either some type of either development funds or sponsor programs, sort of get a nice database of a volunteer sort of list, as well as some type of leadership development so that all the caucuses have at least a few people that they can count on, not just the caucus collaborative chair, but at least a few other point people that are interested in continuing to work as a group. And that's about all I have. Quick thank yous would be the Robert Johnson Foundation for the grant, APHA Component Affairs Department, Pooja, Fran Atkinson, Nate, and Lavanya have been fantastic in giving us information when we need it and to really educate us on APHA. All the caucus representatives I'd like to thank because they did an incredible amount of work filling out their needs assessment and contributing everything regarding the caucuses, and as well as the ISC and the COA. Thank you very much.
Now, what I will take a moment just that I'm going to say, our intention is to break in, we're going to break into three groups, but given the size, I think we're going to break into two groups, and we're going to talk about two specific areas of collaboration, and we brought some experts in to help you. If there is a burning question for one of the speakers, I'll take it, and then we'll break up. So, yes, Gail. Can you guys hear? Do you need the speaker? Another positive. So collaboration, we had three areas of collaboration. One was collaborating on the programs, because you've heard about some things that have happened that Walter was telling you with this pulling together programs. So we're trying to consider the idea of having a very big tent as we move in to the Thursday programming session to see if there's some way that we can, everybody has X number of sections, is it sessions, and is there some way to pull that number around to where we start looking at some of the broader pictures, problems, components, whatever term you want to use, of public health, so it's not just silo by silo. That's one. And Carol Nelson is a MCH person who has been on the program committee and was actually on the program committee after she stopped doing the program for MCH. She has a lot of experience, so she's going to lead that little discussion group. And the idea is to try to see what we can do to innovate and change use the concept of collaboration. So she's going to meet on that side. Now, there's also a real effort to move ahead with policy development. And policy development has been something like what Rebecca is talking about, what Barbara worked with her on. So Barbara's going to lead that group, and we're going to meet sort of at the other ends of the room. And I'm hoping that we get very good notes that are going to go back to the ISC and something that we'll generate and put out through the well. Now, the third area we're going to talk about was communication. But we've talked a lot about that over the last weekend through the Intersectional Council. We have something that we're trying, which is the well, and some of the issues have come up already about how we're going to communicate between and among sections, and you have to let them crawl before they walk. So I think those issues have been clarified some, so instead of separating our group out more, if there's somebody who really wants to talk with communications, Fran and I are in the back, and we can do that. So if you came in saying, I really wanted to talk about collaborative communication, we won't cut you off. I'm going to ask Barbara to come up here. I'm going to ask Carol to go back there. I'm going to ask the speakers to join them. And we know you have other sessions. It is now 11:15. We're going to go for half an hour, which will give you 45 minutes to get to your next session and even maybe grab lunch in the intervening time. And I'd like to appreciate that you came today. I do have some very small little evaluations. This is the first time we've ever had an intersectional council scientific session, so it's important for us to have some words back on it. And we really appreciate your just taking 2 minutes to write down something. If you can't do it now, if you want to drop it past Fran or Nate or Lavanya later, that would be great, or me. I can see me in the suit. But I'd really like us to go ahead and break up into groups, get this conversation going, because we're just starting on collaboration. We're not going to finish it today. Thank you. And my thanks very much to Deborah, to Rebecca, to Walter, and to Richard. You guys were just great. And I also would like to thank both Ruth Roman and Barbara Glenn, who were people who worked on this committee to make certain that this thing happened. They just stuck right through as it got done. So, any other questions, concerns? Right off? Okay. So I'm going to turn it over to our group leaders.